on Perek Nun Aleph, and we started Perek Nun Aleph last week, and we had intended to make it a 1 week long, as every kapitel we've done so far. I went a little bit, we went a little bit more into the philosophy of Teshuvah, and now we're going to actually take a look at the kapitel itself, Nun Aleph. Nun Aleph has 21 pasukim. And let's review a couple of points that we mentioned last week. The chapter is really the pinnacle of David's expressions and teachings about Teshuvah. This is, you know, there's a lot about Teshuvah in Tehillim. However, this is really the ultimate kapitel dealing with David and Teshuvah. And it's the culmination of David's spiritual accomplishments. Thank you. And the result of him constantly working on himself, that he was able to accomplish the teshuvah that he did. And we talked last week about the fact that David asked to be tested, which was, and when Hashem told him he's going to fail the test, he continued and continued to ask. And finally Hashem gave in, tested him with Bathsheba, who was destined to be his wife anyway, however, not at this time. And David, of course, did not pass the test, was not Omed L'Nisayin. And at that point, he also engaged in a whole plan so that Uriah, rather than be killed by the king, would be killed in battle. And so while he did not technically do any averos, such as marrying Bathsheba inappropriately or killing Uriah outside of the legal framework, nonetheless, his actions were certainly inappropriate for someone on David's level, and they looked bad. You know, in politics today, they have it has to be above the appearance of impropriety, as an expression they use. So even if the politician justified, you know what, I can prove to you I didn't do anything wrong, it didn't look very good, and it gives politicians a bad name. David HaMelech disgraced the mitzvahs of Hashem. When people see the Melech doing something wrong, then that's presents a very bad image, and it disgraces the mitzvahs of Hashem. Nathan the Navi came and confronted David, and David's immediate response was that to say that Chatasi lifnei Hashem, that I've sinned in front of Hashem, and that reflexive action, without the slightest bit of hesitation, which may sound like a small matter, but it's a tremendous matter, was a tremendous culmination of many years of Ruchnius development. To be able to completely accept something like that when you're told that you and will die and that you'll suffer many punishments, and to say, I've sinned and I'm sorry, is a tremendous accomplishment. We talked about the fact also that David's other response was to realize that he was not going to be able to bring Klal Yisrael to the level of ruchnius he wanted, and then that this meant that the method that he would use to give over the blueprint for spiritual accomplishment would be the Sefer Tehillim. This particular Aveira, this particular Maisa with Bathsheba and Uriah, would haunt David the rest of his life. Now, David married Bathsheba about a year before Nathan HaNavi came. So David HaMelech had a year to mull this over and to come to his own realization that he had done wrong. His perhaps largest aveira was that during that entire year, he continued to rationalize what he had done, as people are wont to do. And for an entire year, he never was able to frame things correctly and to see what he had done until Nathan HaNavi came. Right away, his baby child that has been born died as a punishment. And David would receive Agmas Nefesh for the rest of his life. This, all from his children, from his subjects, from his friends, all because of this particular Maisa. All because he couldn't take Hashem's word that he wasn't ready for this, and he couldn't stop rationalizing and put it in the correct frame of mind. Now that sounds like something that you or I might do. For David HaMelech to have done that is tremendous folly, a tremendous failing from where he was holding. I mean, that sounds like the kind of thing that you, you know, would expect people to do, right? You did something wrong, and you justify it, and finally someone went, I don't know, it sounds weird. We're talking about David HaMelech. We're talking about a person who Hashem picked, who Adam HaRishon picked as the highest spiritual person in the world. And he, to have acted in such a way is just a tremendous favor. But the fact that he was able to rise into Teshuvah was a tremendous bracha to himself and to Klal Yisrael. But David HaMelech would suffer for this physically, his physical ailments that we talked about, and for the rest of his life. And in fact, there would always be people, even until David HaMelech's death, and even after David HaMelech's death, that said that David HaMelech didn't deserve to be Melech. That David HaMelech had sinned, he did an Aveira, he stole a woman with Bathsheba, even though that wasn't correct. There would always be people that said that Hashem wouldn't forgive him, and that that he didn't deserve to be Melech, and that he should be punished for these Aveiras. Even for the rest of his life, and even after his death, even while Shlomo was reigning, until the Beis HaMikdash was built. And it wasn't until the Beis HaMikdash was built that the masses were thoroughly convinced that David had been forgiven. And the way we know that David had been forgiven is that the Chazal tell us that when the episode happened with the Beis HaMikdash and the doors wouldn't open. So we've described this episode many times this year because it's a very dramatic episode. Shlomo HaMelech went to dedicate the Beis HaMikdash. All of Klal Yisrael gathered, and Shlomo HaMelech rode in all of his majesty, and he said a bracha on the Beis HaMikdash. How many times do you get to hear a bracha on building the Beis HaMikdash? I guess there have been two so far. All right, the Meretz Hashem student, there'll be a third. Not a bracha you hear very often, and the doors wouldn't open. I think I know the contractor they used. The doors wouldn't open. There's millions of people there. The doors won't open. So they bring all the tools, and they try and bash the doors down, unscrew the doors, everything, whatever tools they use, the doors won't open. Finally, when Shlomo HaMelech davens to open the doors because of the schus of Avi, of David HaMelech, then the doors magically opened themselves. At that point, Chazal tell us that the face of every member of Klal Yisrael got slightly blackened. That they had suspected that David HaMelech had not been forgiven was something that Klal Yisrael would have to answer for, and from that point on, no one ever suspected that David HaMelech had not been forgiven from Hashem. Wow. So after Nazan HaNavi came, David HaMelech lost his Ruach HaKodesh, and to say that he was in a sorrowful state is probably an understatement. He's worked his whole life to become only an Eved Hashem, and he just blew it big time. Not only did he blow it, Nazan HaNavi came and said, you blew it so bad, Hashem's going to kill you. Only because you did Shuvah right now, instantly, are you even going to live? He worked his whole life towards one goal, to be an Eved Hashem. It's the only thing he ever cared about. To say that he took this hard, somewhat of an understatement. So he came back and he composed Kapitel Nun Aleph. Let's see what Kapitel Nun Aleph says. Kapitel Nun Aleph says, Lamanat Seach Mizmor LeDavid. This is a song by David or the conductor. We talked before about what a Lamanat Seach is. That a Lamanat Seach is probably the person conducting the music. But the biggest question here, Mizmor, a song? I have an idea. How about Akina LeDavid, a dirge from David? This is not a happy occasion. The trumpets are not blaring. And in fact, okay, it's not even a, you know, part of occasion that he's writing this capital to be used on certain occasions and to inspire people. It's song. Song? All right. So you know what? David, even in his sorrowful state, appreciated the chasadim that Hashem had done for him. And so he still called it a mizmor. Hashem did many chasadim for him. Hashem sent a Navi. The way Hashem did it, everything, I think we talked about last week a little bit, many chasadim, but David still called it a mizmor. And he's writing a mizmor, who for David? For me. He's uplifting his own spirits. He's not just writing for everybody else. All right, when we say LaDavid Mizmor, David is writing for everyone else. Mizmor LaDavid, he's writing for himself too. Right? To encourage himself. Right? B'bo'ei lav Nasan HaNavi, and this is when Nasan HaNavi came to him, Kasher Baal Ba'asheva, and we had come to Ba'asheva, and it was, as we said, about a little less than a year, but about a year later, and the son had just been born, that son, of course, would not live to see his bris. And however, it says in the Pasuk that it happened when he took Ba'asheva. It doesn't say a year later. So you know what? David's teshuva was so deep and so genuine that Hashem considered that year almost as a write-off. Almost as, you know what? It's almost like he did teshuva right away. Teshuva was so strong. Chaneni Elokim Chachazdecha. Show me favor, Hashem, according to your kindness, the rov rachamecha mechei peshai. And according to your vast rachmanis, erase all of my averis. Now he says, erase my peshai, my averis in the plural. Right? Because really there's two components to what he did here. There's the Ba'asheva, and then having Uriah killed. So he's considering it as two separate peshai. And he says, Harav Gabseini Meavaini, please cleanse me from my iniquity, from what I've done, Amechatasi, and from my sin Tahareini, please purify me. Right? Now he says, cleanse me from my Avainai, my Averis. Well, I just got through giving you a whole shmooze. He didn't really do a technical Averis. So what is it that he wants to be cleansed from his Averis? The Avonai? The Avonai he's talking about here is his delay in doing teshuva. Because he considers that to be... He should have realized a year ago what he'd done and done teshuva. A year went by, which was a very rough year for David HaMelech. He had a lot of Agmas Nefesh, a lot of terrible things happened during that year. But a year later, he says, so help me get rid of that Aveira, the fact that I waited so long. And purify me from my Chataim. Now, David HaMelech is asking for a very specific thing. He wants two things. He wants you to cleanse me from his Avainai, and he wants you to be Metaher him, wants Hashem to be Metaher him from his Chatayim. It's not the same thing. The first thing he wants is to get rid of what I did in the past. And to be Metaher from my sins means help me to cleanse myself spiritually so that I can go forward and not repeat my averus. One of the things that people tend to forget is that when you do an avera, it has a long-lasting effect on a person. So if I steal from Chaim Yankel and I go and Chaim Yankel forgives me, I'm done. I'm back to being a great guy again. Yeah, not really. Every chait that you do has a lasting impact on your neshama. And it's not enough just to be forgiven for having done the chait. You have to also daven that Hashem will help you get rid of the spiritual effects of having done a chait. And when David says, Mechatasi ta'areini, purify me from my sins, that's what he's asking me for. Don't just forgive me, but help me get rid of that part of my neshama so that I can go back to my spiritual accomplishments. It is his kipashani eda. For my transgressions I recognize, v'chatasi negdisavi, and it's going to be before me all the time. Now, the translation here is a little tricky, because it doesn't say, I recognize, I know. It says, eda, I will know. It's a lashon asid, it's a future tense. The literal translation of the pasuk is my transgressions, I will know, and my sin is before me always. So, he wanted to know, it'll be with me always. I'll never forget this lesson. I'll always know my peshoi. I'll always know my transgressions. So the translation really is, I will know, opposed to I recognize now. I will recognize. I'll never forget what I did, and I'll make sure that that becomes an integral part of me. And we said last week, the Rambam says that how do you know if you really did a complete teshuvah? If you have the opportunity to do that same aveira again, and you're able to withstand the temptation. So David HaMelech wants Hashem to know, he'll always keep this what he did in mind. Even if Hashem forgives him now, he's not going to just put it aside. He'll always keep that in mind and try and use that to further his spiritual accomplishments. L'chad levarcha l'tasi, v'hara b'einecha asisa. You alone, against you alone, did I do a chait. And that which is evil in your eyes did I do. L'man titzda, b'dvarecha, therefore you are justified when you speak, tizke v'shavtecha, and faultless when you judge. What does it mean, against you alone did I sin? Anybody heard of a guy named Uriah? No, they haven't heard of him anymore, have they? Right? So, but he's saying, you know what? I really didn't do an aver. I didn't kill Uriah illegally. So therefore, it's you I sinned against, Hashem. Bathsheba was divorced, and Uriah was chayav misa, but I sinned against you. And that which is evil in your eyes did I do. Therefore, you're justified in whatever you want to do for me. Hein bi'avon chalalti. Behold, Hashem, in sin I was created. Uvechet yechamazni imi. And in sin I was conceived by my mother. So he's saying, you know what? I realized that I started out with only a Yetzer Hara. Kids don't have a Yetzer Tov. I think most parents could pretty much testify to that, that small children don't have a Yetzer Tov. Right. They only have a Yetzer Hara. Right. And one of the things they get on their bar bas mitzvah when they become a gadol is they get a present. Right? And when my son was bar mitzvah, I started giving a shmooze about the great present he was going to get. And so, you know, a kid who wants the great present he's going to get, is this going to be no bar mitzvah present like bar mitzvah boys? Ooh, and I went on about the tremendous present he's going to get, and now we start thinking like motorcycle, you know. And I said, Hashem's going to give you a Yetzer Tov today. So, how is it that we get little kids to do things? But basically, we sort of do it. We appeal to they don't want to get in trouble, they want to please their parents, because we have to get them accustomed to doing these things. Otherwise, when they get the Yetzer Tov, it'll be for naught. But David Amal Silson, I realized that, you know what, I started off with the Yetzer Hara, okay? And I grew past that. And it says, Hein emes chafatzta, and behold the truth which you desire, matuchos uvasasim chachma zieni, is in the hidden and the revealed wisdom that you teach me. So I realize that the goal is to become an Eved Hashem. Tichat'eini be'ezo ve'etar, and cleanse me of my sin and I'll be pure. Tichabseini u'mishalag albin, and I'll be whiter than snow. So he's telling Hashem, I realize, Hashem, that you can wipe this from me and you can help me get back to that which I know is proper. Tashmi'eini, make me hear. Make me hear, I would say, give me over for a hearing. Okay, I'll go with make me hear. Sometimes when you the literal translation, it's a little, Tashmi'eini sason v'simcha. Force me to hear joy and gladness. Talgein atzamos dikisa. What does it mean, force me to hear joy and gladness? What does David HaMelech want to hear from Hashem? That he's forgiven. Right now, Nasan HaNavi just told him that through his accomplishments, he personally will survive, but woe unto him the punishments that are coming. So you know what, Hashem, I'll take my punishments, but give me one thing of sason v'simcha. Give me one piece of joy. Just tell me, right, that the bones that you crushed, right, that you brought back, just tell me you forgave me. Give me all the punishments you want. I just need one piece of joy, Hashem. I just need the joy to know that you've forgiven me. So you know what? When David HaMelech falls from a height of Ruchnius, where he falls to is still about 18 miles above where we can understand. In this situation, he's saying that, you know what? I would lovingly take all of these punishments. I just want to know, Hashem, that you've forgiven me. I'd personally be davening, strike out the death part, strike out, I'd be davening to get rid of all these punishments. David HaMelech said, I'll take everything. Well, I just want one piece of happiness in the world. What do I want? But I want to know that you've forgiven me. Fine, you have to give me all these punishments. Good, I'll take. Just tell me you've forgiven me. And he says, Haster panecha mechatai. Hide yourself from my sins. and erase all of my averas. He wants to know that he's been forgiven. But now he's going to ask for a little bit more than that. Once you're on a roll, you might as well put, it's sort of like the kid who starts davening, I want a bicycle, and they start thinking, well, you know what, hold on a second. And a bicycle, maybe a motorcycle, maybe, maybe a helicopter wouldn't be bad. So, lahavdil, I got nothing, he's got nothing to lose right now. He's going to ask for one more thing. Lev ta'ar b'lelukim. Right? V'nuach nachon chadesh b'kirbi. As the famous song goes, right? Give me a pure heart, Hashem. Create for me a pure heart, and a steady spirit renew within me. So now what is Avraham Avinu asking for? He says he wants to be forgiven, but he wants one more thing now. He wants help not to do averas in the future. He's asking for an additional thing now. He says, you know what, I want you to forgive me, Hashem, and I'll be happy if I just know that you've forgiven me. And Hashem, what I'm asking you for now, my bakasha, my real request, is not for you to erase all the punishments I'm going to get. That's not my request. My real request, says David HaMelech, is lev tar bar elokim. Help me, right, not to do averus in the future. You know, this pasuk here, most people obsess on one of two things. Either they are asking for forgiveness for that which they've done, or they're davening for the future. You know, Hashem, listen, I'm going into the new Zman, I'm the yeshiva, and I want to learn well, I'm starting a new chavrusa, and they're davening for assistance in the future that they don't fail. Or, they're davening because, you know, I missed 16 out of 18 chavrusas last month, and you know, they're davening for teshuva over what they did. David HaMelech is saying, you got to have both sides of the coin. First of all, you got to ask Hashem to forgive you for what you did, but that's not enough, because then you're just where you were before. I did averus, Hashem forgave me. Well, how am I better now? All right? You also have to have Hashem help you not to do averus in the future. I have to have Hashem help you. Lev Tara Bar Elokim. Very important. And David HaMelech emphasizes that. Because you would think that at this time, not really time to ask for anything. You think that David HaMelech would be better off, maybe? If he's thinking to himself, you know what? I'm not going to ask for anything right now. If Hashem forgives me, I'm fortunate. No. Doesn't work that way. He says, I want to make sure that I daven a bakasha that Hashem should forgive me for the past and help me to not do anything wrong, continue to grow in the future. Lev Tara B'Elokim. Right, the Ruach Nachot Chadesh B'Kirbi. Make it new again in me. Don't make me the same person I was before you forgave me. Al Tashlicheinu Milfonecha. Don't throw me out from your presence, Hashem. The ruach kadshicha al tikach mimeni, and the spirit of your kedusha, don't take away from me. If you just forgive me, that's good. But I want more for the future. Hashiv li sason yishecha. Bring back to me, Hashem, the joy of your salvation. The ruach nadiva tismecheni, and the generous spirit to sustain me. It's all part of David HaMelech's bakasha, of his request. Alamda poishim darachacha, and I will teach other people who do averus your ways, Hashem. V'chataim elecha yeshuva, and other people who do chataim will return to you. Now this is an interesting pasuk because Rabbeinu Yaina, Yeshari Teshuva, says that the final and 20th stage of teshuva is to be an example for others and help other people to do teshuva. So David HaMelech is saying, and you know what, if you can give me this bakasha to help me be better in the future, you know what I'll do, Hashem? I'll be able to teach others to do teshuva. I'll be able to teach others who do averus, and then that effect will ripple amongst many people. Hatzileni midami. He switches the subject a little bit. All right, that's all the things that he wants for the future. Hatzileni midami. Rescue me from the guilt of blood, Elohim, Elokei Shuasi, Tarenin, Lisharnai, and then I'll sing joyously with my tongue, Tzikasecha, of your righteousness. Now, we just said that David HaMelech was in the right, had the right to kill Uriah. So why is he saying, Hatzileni Midamim, save me from the blood? So the Mefarshim were in disagreement over what it means, one of two things. Either he's asking Hashem that don't let him die violently as a punishment, or he's asking Hashem not to make him have to violently subdue his enemies. He wants to be... And the Mefarshim are in disagreement over whether it means violence of his own punishment or violence that he'll have to do to others. Because even though Uriah was Chayav Misa, what David HaMelech should have done, and what Chazal say was part of his Zaveira, is he should have brought Uriah to the Sanhedrin. And he should have tried him publicly. And when the Sanhedrin confirmed that he was Chayav Misa, he could have had him executed, and everything would have been 100% copacetic. Instead, he came up with this whole plan. You know what? He had a rationalization that if I publicly execute Uriah, it might be a Chil Hashem, because people will know that his ex-wife is my wife, and they might suspect that I have some ulterior motive, so I'll have him killed in this sort of roundabout way. Well, that was an Avera, said the Sanhedrin. That was a rationalization. He should have taken Uriah, like anybody else who was Chayav Misa, and taken him to the Sanhedrin, and let the Sanhedrin pronounce him guilty, and let him be executed. So he's afraid, you know what, maybe my punishment for that will be I'll die in a bloody violent way. And some of Urshim say, no, David HaMelech, he's had a very difficult Malchus so far, with many wars that he's been fighting, and he's saying, you know what, Hashem, save me from having to do further violence. So either way, he's asking to be saved from doing the particular violence. Now David HaMelech comes down to the home stretch, so to speak. He says, Hashem Sfasai Tivtach, Hashem, open up my lips, Ufi Yagiti Lasecha, my mouth may declare your praise. Ki lo sachpot zevach ve'etin. You know what? You don't really want a sacrifice from me. Or I would give you one. Ayla lo sirtza. You don't want a carbon ayla from me. So he means this both on a simple level and a deep level. On the simple level, David HaMelech is not chayv to bring a korban. Because if to bring a korban, he would have had to do certain averes, which he didn't do. So therefore, technically, he's not chayv to bring a korban. So therefore, he's saying, you know what, if I was chayv to bring a korban, of course I would. But I'm not. But on a deeper layer, he's saying, you don't desire a korban for me, Hashem. Right? What's the point of a korban? The point of a korban is to draw closer to Hashem. The point of a korban is to give up part of, give over this animal, to realize that your own animalistic instincts cause you to do an avera, and to, by that sacrifice, a person becomes koro, like korban, to Hashem. This is David HaMelech on a deeper level. You know what? For me, you don't need a korban, Hashem. I never for a moment stop thinking about how to become closer to Hashem. Zivcha Elokim Ruach Nishbara. Hashem wants sacrifices from people that are broken and need sacrifices to bring them back into the proper spirit. Leiv nishbar benidcha, a person who's broken and down spirited. Elokim lo sizbe, sivze. Hashem doesn't despise. He allows them this method of bringing a korban. Says David HaMelech, that's not what you want from me, Hashem. So you can take that on the simple level of the fact he doesn't have to bring a korban. Or you could take it perhaps that he's speaking on a more on a deeper level. Now, in the last two pesukim, we turn back to David HaMelech's constant request. What is it that David HaMelech always wanted to do, and always wants to do? Still, in the depths of this awful situation, has not given up on the hope that he'll get to build the Beis HaMikdash. Most people, a regular, ordinary, average person, at this point, would figure Beis HaMikdash is pretty much out of the picture right now. Right? Right now, we're working on the Hashem, don't kill me part. Instead, he says, Hey, Tiva Ritzoncha Tzion, do good, Hashem, unto Tzion, Tivnecha Mishirishalayim, and make sure that the Beis HaMikdash is built. Az Tachpot Zivchei Tzedek, and then Hashem will be able to bring Korbanos properly, oil of a chalil, an oil and a chalil, az ya'alu al mizbechach parim, and offer up on your mizbeach korbanos of parim. So even in all of this downtrodden, tumult state, David HaMelech is still yearning for the Beis HaMikdash and the glory of the Shechina in the Beis HaMikdash, that people can bring their korbanos to the Beis HaMikdash. bringing your korban to the mizbeach before the Beis Hamikdash was built is not the same thing. Now, when I say not the same thing, I don't mean chas v'shalom, it's not halachically proper. I mean, it's not the same. Imagine the difference of bringing the korban to the Beis Hamikdash as opposed to bringing it prior to the Beis Hamikdash. David wants people to be able to come close to Hashem with their korbanos, and the Beis Hamikdash is how he envisions that that's going to happen. Well, David HaMelech closes with that particular request that don't let what I did slow to the Hamikdash, because there's a lot of people that need to come close to you, Hashem, and with their korbanos, and we need to get the Beis Hamikdash built. You know, if we didn't know better, it doesn't even sound like a broken man, does it? It sounds like someone who okay, I had a bad day, right? But David HaMelech on his worst day, and he's going to be punished so severely for this. The physical illnesses he's going to have, the rebellions of his children, the death is just going to destruction, all because of this aveira. And what's he worried about? He's worried about Hashem making sure that in the future he doesn't do any more aveiros, and making sure that this doesn't affect the Beis Hamikdash. People need to bring their korbanos and become close to Hashem. And you know what? You want to give me a little joy? Tell me you forgive me. Even in David HaMelech's lowest moment, the godlus of David HaMelech comes shining through. And it's all because of his bakasha, that the only thing he's concerned about is what is best for his relationship with Hashem. Now, usually in every kapitel, we try to come out with what it is that we're supposed to take away from this particular kapitel. What is it that when we say this kapitel, we should be taking away from this? There's a long list in this kapitel, and I've been struggling somewhat myself with what is the real summary of, when you say this kapitel, what are we trying to get out of it? So we have a whole bunch of different things, but if we had to, so to speak, boil it down, how would we boil down what David HaMelech is trying to get across to us? And I think, if I can be so bold as to offer this, and I didn't really see this in any of them before, but I think that the boiled down aspect of what David HaMelech is trying to teach us is that there is always hope. That a person can always, always, always ask Hashem to make things better. It's not going to get much worse than this in David HaMelech's life.
But at the end, did he really know that Hashem?
Yes, Hashem forgave him, and David HaMelech knew that Hashem forgave him.
When is that?
Not for a while. And anything is possible. That even in the depths of despair, David HaMelech is davening for Hashem to tell him he's forgiven, for to do things very true. That no matter how low you are, or how low you feel you are, you can always ask Hashem to help you up. And that's one of the things that people struggle with on Yom Kippur, and you know, a lot of times in the shul in Yom Kippur, the Rav will give a shmooze and he'll mention, you know, you come to Yom Kippur, and you can feel overwhelmed. You read the list of the standard of eras. Oh gosh, some things in there I didn't forget about that I'd done. All right, and then you start adding your own personal list. I know that a lot of times we're in yeshiva, people used to, you make alphabetical lists of all the averas they did. Achalti b'li bracha, irachta b'lo kavana, and I make according to the olive base. Put all that in together with the standard, you know, averas that everybody is saying vidui on, and my gosh, they start getting overwhelmed. You got me saying, Shem, you know what? I got 24 hours to do teshuva for all this? You know what? Forget it. It's not really, this is impossible. You know, maybe if I was a big tzaddik, I had a couple minor averas, I could come on Yom Kippur. People get overwhelmed by the prospect of that. And Hashem, and it doesn't matter. right? Hashem, all Hashem needs is a little Pesach, a little opening, and I'll bring it to you. It's hard not to become overwhelmed with things. So David HaMelech wants us to realize, it doesn't matter how overwhelmed you get, Hashem is still able to pull you up. Right? We're going to see that theme in other kapitulah, but the fact that you're so overwhelmed, it doesn't, because David HaMelech, and he says, you know what? Tareini mechatasai. Just purify me from my averus. So come in Yom Kippur and stand and say, Hashem, I don't know how I got into this mess. Right? I'm sorry I did this, and I'm not going to do that again. Sorry I did this, and I'm not going to do that again. And you know what, Hashem? Tahir me. Help me. Be me tahir me. Bring me up to a madrega that I don't even think I can reach. I once heard a vort. It's a little late. I won't go into the whole details of the vort because it's a little late. And actually, I believe the vort was Tversky. And I'm not sure where I got it from, but there are three places in the Torah where we have a kri and a ksiv. It's written one way, but we read it another way. Right? And lo, lamed aleph, but instead it's lamed vav. Lo meaning to him, as opposed to lo meaning no. So there are three places. And he said a beautiful word about how each one of those places is a place where you're doing something that seems impossible. And it truly, maybe when we get closer to Yom Kippur, it's a long vort, but maybe when we get closer to Yom Kippur, I'll find some way to work it into the shir sometime. And he says, you know why? Because a person thinks, lo, I can't do it. Hashem says, lo, to him, yeah, you can. David HaMelech, that's a lesson. I don't know if I'm summarizing that with enough clarity, but that's the lesson of David HaMelech here. And David HaMelech, what a painful lesson to teach us. Now remember, David HaMelech has decided at this point too that he's not only going to write the Tehillim, and write them all down in the Sefer, he's going to sing them from the steps of the Beis HaMikdash. That means that this is a very public thing. He's going to be singing this from the steps of the Beis HaMikdash. David HaMelech is willing to expose himself to teach us that lesson. The least we can do is try and clap it up. Any questions?
No. I have to think
about it. Next week, Emir Tashem.